Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to What Does the Word Say?, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? That and much more are available on our site. If we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or call us at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live on Periscope. Download the app from the Apple Store or Android Play Store. Follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get notifications when we are live on the air. Today, we will continue on our series on the book of John. I am excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you would like to be part of the conversation this morning, call us at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, and you can listen or chat with us online. It's my pleasure to welcome Dwayne Clemens and Pastor Godfrey Kasiri from God's Kingdom at Hand Ministries in Chesterfield, Virginia, to the show this morning. Good morning, sirs. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Great.
Doing fabulous. How about you?
Good to have everybody online.
Yes, we're online. We're online, yes.
We are live right now. So,
amen.
Go ahead and start praying, Dwayne.
Well, Father, we just want to thank you today for the opportunity to gather in this presence. And, Lord, explore your word as we break the word of God down into its innermost details and its innermost facets. Father, we just pray right now for a release of your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, show us things to come, and to be our comforter. Father, we know that according to the word, we are called to study to show ourselves approved, workmen unashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we want to be obedient to that call. And Father, at every juncture, we're just going to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, Amen.
And so last week, Godfrey, we had a good time. Are we still on John 7?
Yes, actually, we left off on John 7, verse 17. John 7, verse 17. We are going to continue with verse 18.
Okay.
The word was so good, we are stuck on. I think we're stuck on a few verses.
Right.
Amen.
It's not really stuck. Hopefully we are
I'll be done at 10:30.
From it. So I've got actually amplified. So if I go ahead and start on 18 again.
Yes.
He who speaks on his own authority seeks to win honor for himself. He whose teaching originates with himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory and is eager for the honor of him who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness or falsehood or deception in him. Anybody break it down?
Well, I wanted to actually read it in the New King James Version. You start at 18, right?
Right.
Right.
Since he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. We have a lot of people out here today that are trying to do that.
Right.
But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him, which is awesome. And then verse 19, let me just go through 19 here. It says, did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you kept the law? Why do you seek to kill me? That was the question at hand right there, Pastor.
Now, this is where we come to realize that Jesus knew that everything that he has to do, he has to depend on the Father. I believe we looked at John chapter 5, where he says that whatever I see my father do, I do. So he completely relied on the will of the Father. Of course, that's where we were anchored in last week. We couldn't move any further because we are looking at the importance of doing the will of the Father, in that he never sought his own praises. All he depended on, Father, am I doing your will? Up to the time of the cross, he still asked, Father, is this your will? Like you're saying, many come to seek their own glory, their own praises and exaltation. But Jesus never looked at that. He knew who sent him. And I believe as men, women, servants of God that are called, that is our key in order to have a success in what God has called us in this world.
Amen. I agree with that. Go ahead, Linda.
Okay. So, verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet not one of you keeps the law, if that is the truth. Why do you seek to kill me for not keeping it? He was pretty radical.
Yeah.
Very radical.
They were.
Verse 20.
The crowd answered him, you are possessed by a demon. You are raving. Who seeks to kill you? And Jesus answered them, I did one work, and you all are astounded, which was John 5:1-9. Now, Moses established circumcision among you, though it did not originate with Moses, but with the precious patriarchs, and you circumcise a person, even on the Sabbath day. If, to avoid breaking the law of Moses, a person undergoes circumcision on the Sabbath day, have you any cause to be angry with, indignant with, bitter against me for making a man's whole body well on the Sabbath? Be honest in your judgment and do not decide at a glance, superficially and by appearances, but judge fairly and righteously. Then some of the Jerusalem people said, is not this the man they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be possible that the rulers have discovered and know that this is truly the Christ? No, we know where this man comes from. When the Christ arrives, no one is to know from what place he comes. Whereupon Jesus called out as he taught in the temple, the porches, do you know me, and do you know where I am from? I have not come on my own authority and of my own accord and as self-appointed, but the one who sent me is true, real, genuine, steadfast, and him you do not know. I know him myself because I come from him. I come from his very presence, and it was he personally who sent me. Therefore, they were eager to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him, for his hour or his time had not yet come. And besides, many of the multitude believed in him. They adhered to him, trusted in him, relied on him, and they kept saying, when the Christ comes, will he do? Can he be expected to do more miracles and produce more proofs and signs than this, what this man has done? The Pharisees learned how the people were saying these things about him under their breath, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent attendants, guards, to arrest him. Therefore Jesus said, for a little while I am still with you, and then I go back to him who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not be able to find me where I am. You cannot come. Then the Jews said among themselves, where does this man intend to go that we shall not find him? Will he go to the Jews who are scattered in the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does this statement of his mean? You will look for me and not be able to find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Now, on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. But he was speaking here of the Spirit, capital S, whom those who believed, trusted, had faith in him, were afterward to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified or raised to honor. Listening to those words, some of the multitude said, this is certainly and beyond doubt the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. But some said, what? Does the Christ come out of Galilee? Does not the Scripture tell us that the Christ will come after the offspring of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David lived? So there arose a division and dissension among the people concerning him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one ventured and laid hands on him. Meanwhile, the attendants, guards, had gone back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, why have you not brought him here with you? The attendants replied, never has a man talked as this man talks. No mere man has ever spoken as he speaks. The Pharisees said to them, are you also deluded and led astray? Are you also swept off your feet? Has any of the authorities or of the Pharisees believed in him? As for this multitude, rabble, that does not know the law, they are contemptible and doomed and accursed. Then Nicodemus, who came to Jesus before at night and was one of them, asked, does our law convict a man without giving him a hearing and finding out what he has done? They answered him, are you too from Galilee? Search the scriptures yourself, and you will see that no prophet comes or will rise to the prominence from Galilee. And they went back each to his own house. So we're finished with seven.
Well, we have a ton of stuff here we need to cover.
Right.
Thank you for reading that word, Linda. That was very, very good. Pastor, you want to start off here, because there's still a ton of nuggets there that we can pull out of this.
Oh, I tell you, brother, there is a lot. But let's look at verse 24. It's a verse that has jumped out as Linda was reading for us so well. Verse 24, where it says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And I remember this is what man does, because if we can look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 6 to 12, we know that story very well. This is the prophet Samuel. He's gone to the house of Jesse, and he wanted, God had told him that, I want you to go to the house of Jesse. He was going to anoint a king, and all that he did was, as a man, you know, according to how the nature is, as a man, he was looking on the outside, but well, we won't read so many verses. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Mm-hmm. it's so interesting.
Okay. 1 Samuel 16,
I think it should be second. I'm sorry. I think it should be second. Second Samuel, chapter 6.
Okay.
Second Samuel, chapter 6. If you can read from verse 6.
Okay, second Samuel 6.
Now look how man looks at the outside. Is it
which verse?
Should be verse. I think verse 6. Hopefully that's the one.
I think I am. I'm at 2 Samuel 6 and it starts.
Should be verse 16. Oh, you're right. Verse 16, I'm sorry. Should be 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's look at how man judges on the outside. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Yes, what about that?
So the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you be for Saul? Okay. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill your horn with oil. I will send you to Jesse. For I've provided for myself a king among his sons. So then they go through the different. So in 2, Samuel was, he was asking God, if Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one I named for you. So then he did all of that. Then when he, Samuel
we
did
now,
the Lord.
We jump to verse 6 and 7. That is the key verse we need.
So when they had come, he looked on Eliab, the oldest son, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. For the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his appearance or at the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the man looks up. For God, the Lord looks on the heart.
Yes. Now, we see there that man was looking at the appearance. Of course, like they looked at Jesus, and Jesus was telling them, judge not according to the appearance in verse 24 of chapter 7. So we're comparing it to the man of God, Prophet Samuel. He had, I think, a look on this tall, gigantic man on the outside, and he said, this is the Lord's anointed. And the Lord had to tell him, I don't judge that way. I look at the heart. And here was Jesus also with these men. They were judging according to the outside, and the Lord had to tell them, judge not according to the appearance. And so many times we may judge according to the outside, and the Lord looks at the heart, because he knows it's the heart that has either the praise that comes to God honestly or the lips. So in this picture, what I'm looking at, that I compare it to what happened to Saul, that he looked more on the outside and he thought, well, that would be the very man that is anointed. And of course, if you look at Saul prior to his declining in his call, he was a gigantic man, tall, and they said, surely, this is the very man. So here, what I wanted to bring out is that God looks at the heart, and that's what Jesus was also pointing to these Pharisees.
Yes, right.
One of the things, too, I want to clarify here, again, as I've said before, we have a significant crisis in terminology.
Right.
So when you look at the word judge, and he says here in verse 24, it says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. There's another word that has to be, I guess, parenthetically imposed in here, and that's called evaluation. He's telling them right now to evaluate what you see, but not according to only what you see. You have to start to learn how to evaluate things the way God evaluates things.
Right.
There's other places in here where Jesus talks about the fact that God is the righteous judge, or he says, look, all power and authority have been given to me, and I am the righteous judge. If I judge, no matter what I say, it's true, whether you like it or not, whatever the circumstances are or the situation or whatever, when I speak, it's the truth because I judge righteously. Well, our judgment is oftentimes tainted by our prejudice. It's often tainted by our experience. And so when we start to evaluate things like that and we look at somebody, especially the human being, as they do things that we're not familiar with, okay, and perhaps we're not comfortable with, then we start comparing them to our frame of reference, which is the sum total of everything we've experienced in our life, and we may or may not allow ourselves to be open to that newness that would then change our judgment or our evaluation of the circumstance.
Right.
I don't know if that helped any, but
yeah,
but we have to be real careful. Unfortunately, judgment—the word "judge" has some a somewhat negative connotation of it, because you think about going to court and standing before the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Generally, the verdict is either going to be guilty or innocent, and it can mean your life, or it can mean a substantial withdrawal from your checkbook.
Right.
And so, but before we can come up with an adequate decision, then we have to evaluate all of the circumstances, all of the facts that are involved in this. And I think
right.
It's a natural tendency for man. And guess what? We're not going to finish chapter 7 today.
Wow.
That's what I'll say, but there's so much meat here, because this is very important. You know, we have to learn how to evaluate, but not come up in the point where we judge and begin to criticize, especially if there's a possibility that we don't know what the truth is.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that I think that's absolutely important for people to consider and to remember that you need to get all of the facts and the figures before you begin to start evaluating that stuff, because if you don't, then you're going to come up with a false judgment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right.
And what you said is absolutely right, because if you continue in those verses for where we stopped in Samuel, you notice that I think Samuel still had, when we are talking about the frame of reference, he was still looking at what appeared to be in the past that Saul was, you know, this strong man. And he allowed in more other brothers to come in before the little David showed up.
Yeah, because they were looking for somebody to be the king, to get that anointing.
Right. Yes.
And so David, based on their frame of reference, was not at all what they were expecting or anticipating.
Mm-mm. No.
So there's a direct parallel there to what David went through and what Jesus went through. They were looking at Jesus going, how can this person, we know where he's from, we know where he was born, we know where he came out of, we knew his parents, we knew that his father was nothing but a carpenter, you know. How can he stand up in our religious synagogues and preach with such boldness and power and authority?
Exactly.
And that's why the Bible says that the prophet is never received in his own hometown. I can go back to Virginia Beach all day long and they look at me like, oh, yeah?
Who is he?
Oh, really? Really? You're going to come down here and start talking about power and peace and righteousness? Well, we know about how you lit the woods on fire. We know that you stole milk off of somebody's front porch. We know all your deep, dark, dirty secrets. So how in the world can you come in here just like Paul?
Yes.
And Paul was evaluated the same way. They looked at him and go, wait a minute. You killed my mother, my father, my sister, my cousin, my aunt, my dog. I mean, come on. And now you're going to come up in this place and start preaching Christ and Christ crucified? Are you crazy? But it just goes to prove that God has a better idea. His ways are not our ways.
Yes.
And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And he, you know, he is the righteous judge. He knows exactly what the intent of our heart is, and that's what we have to really truly evaluate.
Exactly.
Well, go ahead, Pat. Let's see if we can get a little more done.
Yes.
Five minutes already.
Oh, yeah. I was also looking that I think Jesus had that confidence. I know we've already exhausted, verse 30, where it says, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. That Jesus knew the timing, that, you know what, nothing can be done. And that's why it's very, very important to spend more time before the Lord and know what is his will for my life. Because they may try to scare you, or situation may try to scare you, and you say, Lord, is my time up? And I want to encourage our listeners that the more time you spend with the Father, you not only get to know his will, but I believe you will know the fullness of time when it comes. That, you know what, this is the time that he has ordained, that I have to accomplish that which he has ordained for me to do.
Well, when you do that, I agree with you 100%. And I think that the more the time that you spend with the Father, then the less time you're going to have with misjudgments.
Right.
You're going to have insight because the Holy Spirit's going to, again, is our comforter. And
yeah.
He leads us and guides us into all truth and shows us things to come. But he's going to drop these little nuggets in your spirit. And you're going to know things. You're going to see things that most people don't see. So when these circumstances happen, everybody's running around going, oh, you're going to be sitting there going, dude, really? That ain't no big thing, because I know what the Holy Spirit says.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
How much time we got left, baby?
3 minutes.
Well, you're doing a fine job today.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you all.
And then the other thing that you talked about too last week, I think, was timing, Pastor.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. If you really want to be right on time,
right,
then you have to spend time with the Father.
Exactly. Yes. And like you said, if we spend, the more time we get to spend with him, of course, that's when we will know his judgment, because we get to know his heart.
Yeah.
And as you say, the Holy Spirit also searches. He knows the heart of the Father. So the Father's heart will always be revealed to us, and then we will know how to judge rightly as he does.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Further,
he also talks about down there in the end of this chapter about the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He says in verse 37, he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me also, or he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And so that's the beauty of having the Holy Spirit, is that you have that living water that spreads out of your mouth and out of your heart.
All right, Brother Godfrey, 90 seconds. Got any last
words? Of course. Yes, ma'am. I enjoyed where Brother Duane left off. I know that's where we'll pick up from, because that's where he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the flow, I believe, has to be continuous if we are to enjoy his presence. I know we'll pick it up from there. I can't expound on it much.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly
Amen.
What we're starting this week.
Yeah.
Linda, you know you're about to push, and y'all be blessed and let the Spirit reign.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
buddy. I'm done.